The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line. We're open line today through till 1 o'clock. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Well, Dr. Allison has stepped down from the Treasury, our Treasury Minister. No longer Alex Allinson. It's now Chris Thomas, MHK, the Central Douglas MHK, and Michelle Haywood has stepped down from DOI. Tim Crocall is back in DOI. Well, if you've got any thoughts on this, text, email, call, WhatsApp. And with me is a rather breathless Phil Gorne, our political correspondent. Well, Phil, what do you make of the last 24 hours?
Well, it's been very, very... Well, it's not even 24 hours, is it? It's, news started to break at 8 o'clock this morning. And in a way, it's a surprise in that we have 9 months left until the election. It's 8 months, isn't it? And in another way, it's no surprise at all. This has been coming for a year or more, particularly that split that appears to have happened in the Council of Ministers between the Chief Minister on the one hand and the Treasury Minister in particular on the other hand.
You preempted my next question. Did you see this coming?
Well, not entirely. It felt like it could have come. The thing, maybe this is me putting two and two together, the thing that I noticed on the Timald Order paper this week was an absence of motions by Chris Thomas. Now, that could be purely coincidental, but perhaps he knew that something was in the offing when motions were being put down, which is about 10 days ago. Perhaps he didn't, I don't know, but no doubt Chris will tell us at some point in the
future.
4 weeks
tomorrow, the budget will be announced. So, I mean, is it a case that the budget's been ripped up and they're starting to rewrite it from today?
Well, they can't rip it up entirely, but I guess some of the headline policies will have to change, because that effectively is the reason we've been given for the departure of the Treasury Minister. The Chief Minister clearly didn't feel that the Treasury Minister had the confidence of business in the Isle of Man in relation to the introduction of the living wage as the minimum wage.
So, and again, I suppose if you're not in business, it's difficult to gauge what the impact has been of that. So how much of a ripple, how much of a wave did that legislation make within the business community?
Well, I think it's been massive. It's as a former minister, what really amazed me was when you hear from business that the ministers haven't been listening, or they haven't even been out to speak to business. That really surprises me, because if you do nothing else as a minister, what you must do is listen to the people who are most affected by the decisions that you're taking. So, big surprise really that more hadn't been done to engage at a much earlier stage with business on these issues.
Okay. Mr. Thomas, it's fair to say, and he'll forgive me for saying this, takes a rather cerebral approach to politics. He's a man who thinks a lot. He's a man who talks a lot sometimes. Is he the man for the job?
Well, the Chief Minister obviously thinks so. Now, whether that's because he'd asked others and they didn't fancy the job, or whether that is because Chris Thomas is the ideal choice, I doubt we'll ever get to fully understand the answer to that question. But Chris Thomas is a deep thinker. Yeah. He thinks very deeply about every political thing that he does. Is that a bad thing? Maybe not necessarily when you're the Treasury Minister.
How much of an input then is he going to have in this new Treasury initiative, in the bits that the Chief Minister disagree with Dr. Allinson?
Well, I'm guessing that he would be appointed to the role because he already agreed with what the Chief Minister was thinking. I'm guessing that that's why he would have been considered for the role. So he will have an impact. I can't imagine the Chief Minister would appoint another minister who he actually fundamentally disagrees with on most policies.
Okay, where does it leave Andrew Smith and Gary Cluett within the department?
Well, they probably will stay. I can't imagine that they're not big, high political profile type people. They haven't nailed their colours to any particular mast. Gary Cluett may choose to go. I mean, he's a left of centre politician, as was the Treasury Minister, so he might choose to go, but there's no particular political reason for him to go that I can see.
Okay, which brings me on to the Department of Infrastructure. Obviously, Michelle Haywood has gone now, and in comes, like a rotating substitute, in comes Tim Crookall. I'm also interested in what you think of the other political members, Laurie Hooper, Joni Farragher and Dawn Kinnish. Obviously, two leaders of political parties are in there, Laurie Hooper and Joni Farragher, both left-leaning. How do you think they see this?
Well, I know that Manx Radio has an interview with Laurie. Laurie, I can't imagine, is going to stay. He and Michelle Haywood have been working very closely, particularly on a number of the local authority related things. I know Laurie led a meeting with the local authorities in relation to housing. He believes in Michelle Haywood's project, and with Michelle Haywood not there, even if he wanted to stay, I suspect he's too closely aligned with what Michelle Haywood was trying to deliver.
As far as the timetable is concerned, now 4 weeks to the budget. By the time we've blinked, there's going to be Easter, then it's going to be TT, and everybody will be on the downhill to the election. With best intentions, how much of a difference do you think Mr. Crookall and Mr. Thomas can make?
Well, I had prepared an agenda today, and my closing comment was, because it was about the Chief Minister's appearance before the Select Committee that was looking into whether how Comyn operates and whether the Chief Minister needs more power. And my closing comment was, does he need more power, or does he need to use the powers he already has more effectively? And effectively, what that means is, as Chief Minister, you can sack people, you can hire and fire. That is your biggest power, and that's obviously what he's decided to do. Sadly, the programme I'd made is now redundant, so we'll have to think of something else, and I guess we're going to be have no shortage of things to talk about. But yes, the Chief Minister's done what probably he should have done a little while ago, and redressed the balance in Council of Ministers. So at least in the run-up to the election, Council of Ministers will be more on the Chief Minister's side than perhaps it has been in recent months. And I think that's really what's provoked the Chief Minister into taking the actions that he has today.
OK, it's a reshuffle. It's a mini reshuffle. Obviously, the only two departments are affected. Were you expecting more? Could there be more?
Well, there were whispers that perhaps a shuffling of ministers apart from the two departures. We can't call them sackings there. But both decided at the same time that it was a time for them to step down, didn't they? So there was talk of reshuffling, but that doesn't seem to have materialised, and the word that I'm getting is that there will be no further reshuffles in this particular reshuffle. Political members, there's a high likelihood that political members will change, some at least of those political memberships will change.
What do you think the business community will make of the decision regarding Treasury?
I don't think they're going to be too bothered about the actual person in the role. It's going to be what that person does. And based on all the lobbying that we've seen over the past month or so, I'm guessing what has been announced, that there's going to be a change of heart in relation particularly to the minimum wage, living wage, then I'm pretty sure business is going to be happier with what's being proposed.
Okay, Phil Gawne, it's 12:15. You're on the air at 5:30 tonight. What's it going to be?
Well, I hope to speak to the Chief Minister. Certainly, we have an appointment penciled in for later this afternoon, so I'll speak to the Chief Minister. I've got Rob Collister and Laurie Hooper has spoken to Manx Radio, so we'll be reflecting on what has been an exciting political day.
All right, political correspondent Phil Gawne. Thanks, Phil. Good to hear from you. So let's hear what you have to say. These residents in Douglas have been reacting to the news of the cabinet reshuffle.
I've been a voter for 70 years, and this is the worst government in my recollection. I just look at expertise in the people who are supposed to represent us, and I don't think any of them qualify as politicians.
A little bit surprised. I'm trying to work out if that's the right move or not. I'm not quite sure at the moment.
A former minister has said it shows no confidence, or it makes people lose confidence in the current leadership. Is that where you're at?
I don't think I've got much confidence in them anyway, to be quite honest with you. Not sure whether Mr. Thomas is the right one.
I'm relatively neutral towards it all. I think it's a good thing there's change happening, to be honest.
It shows that the government is looking to make some changes. I think that the 20 mile an hour speed limit was never really going to work on the Isle of Man. It's definitely something that a lot of people here felt strongly about.
I don't think it makes a huge amount of difference who's sort of in the individual positions. I'm a little bit surprised about the timing, because it feels that they started rolling out the 20 miles an hour speed limit at the end of last week, and now on Monday everyone's reshuffled and everything's changed. It's sort of symptomatic of how the Isle of Man government goes about things. We seem to invest time, money and resources into something, and then change or something happens at the last minute and we never see the fruition. So a bit of a giant waste of time, really. Since COVID lockdown, where I thought they did a very good job, almost everything else has not gone well. If you look at the sort of the rebuilding of the prom and all of the issues here, the minimum wage is a difficult one, to be honest. I would be a supporter of increasing minimum wage, but I also see that the high street and the hospitality industry on the Isle of Man is suffering greatly. All you ever see is places closing every week. So whereas I'm a fan of increasing minimum wage and people getting paid fairly, if that means that businesses are closing, that is a problem. So I think that's not an easy one to solve. But confidence is extremely low. I think most people this morning would simply not be surprised by the news that all of a sudden, at the very last minute, or even past the last minute, there's going to be a drastic U-turn.
12:18, the voice of the people, and Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Yeah, that was, well, unsurprising, as we say, with Alex Allenson and Michelle Haywood. But it's something that was concerning with the minimum wage. It was a 9% rise, which was very substantial in anybody's terms. And that was across the board. It wasn't through individual companies. It's everybody. So what do you look at that in terms is bringing more people earning more money into the tax area, because the threshold for tax hasn't changed. I don't know whether it will change, but it means more people who are earning under the threshold at the moment will be dragged into it. So it's a backdoor way, using the business people of the island to bring in more taxes for the government. But then on the other hand, you've got Michelle Haywood there, who's been pushing and pushing quite vehemently for this 20 mile an hour limit and the introduction of the sign supposedly to start this morning. Now, maybe that's been a knee-jerk reaction from the Chief Minister, but to get shut and bring in Tim Krukol, who, in his own words, and I've seen it on both yours and FM's radio, internet, he is going to pause the rollout. But sitting behind that, Michelle Haywood is gone now, but sitting behind that is a £500,000 sum paid out for the posts, for the fitting, and for the signs. Now, who is responsible for that? They cannot hide, these people within government, they cannot hide behind the fact that Michelle Hayward has been moved from the head of the department to whatever she's going to go to. But there were people there higher up the tree within the DOI, within the social service, the civil service, who advocated this and actually said, yes, you can go for the money. Long before it was actually put up to the public, they had bought this stuff and it would probably be in storage somewhere. So we've got a whole load of 20 mile an hour signs, a lot of steel poles. If you turn into Anarcha from the traffic lights off the Castletown Road, there's new ones gone up there, less than 100 yards from where the original ones were. So, where the home zone. So somebody within government is responsible for the waste of £500,000, which could have been used elsewhere within the Isle of Man for the people of the Isle of Man.
Well, it also begs the question, Howard, I mean, if that money can be requested and got, I mean, for literally three times that amount, they could put the horse trams back.
Well, they already had the money, and the man that's coming into the DOI was part of that fiasco with the horse trams and the money. We had three ministers for the DOI at the time that was going on, and I think Tim Crookall was one of them. And the horse trams are still not there, and we're 9 months away from a new government. So the money was there, and there again, where did that go to? There's never been any answers. It's a bit like the power station. When it went well over budget, nobody knew anything about it. So nobody's prepared to give answers within the civil service or any of the MUA, the DOI, or any other part of government system. They won't give answers, and they should be made to.
Well, I think the money for the horse trams got shifted off to another part for doing the promenade up. Of course, we never quite knew what was happening on the promenade. I don't think they ever knew from the beginning what was happening on the promenade.
That money was in the system to put the horse trams right through. So why would they take it out of that and not make application for what they were putting it to? They've had to put a business case now to get this, which is quite easily refused. But they already had the business case over many, many years. The money was put there to do the promenade and the horse trams, which is part of the heritage, and they've lost the 150 years out of them. And nobody's been told where the money went to. If there was an explanation, you might be able to understand. But it's all secret, which is wrong. It's public money. And now, as I say, they've just wasted another £500,000 on the signs on a programme that's, in her own words, is unenforceable.
Right. So, well, anyway, the Chief Minister, Mr Cannon's put his foot down. Howard, do you approve of it?
He should have done it a long time ago. Because, as I said, the Treasury Minister, he stuck 2% to 1% on top to ring fence for the health service. You've never heard any benefits of that. Then that was dropped, lowered. It'll be interesting to see what this budget brings out. But I know of several people, quite a lot, and I've said this in the last fortnight, about having to go private on the medical side.
Yeah.
So there's our health service people running a business within a government premises and government taxpayers' staff. So they're running a business within within a hospital fraternity. So there's an awful lot of questions that never get answered. They're always pushed into the long grass. And this is what's going to happen now. This shuffle should have happened 18 months ago. And perhaps we might have got some sense out of them.
Okay. All right, Howard, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, take care.
All
bye
right,
now.
It's 25 past 12. It's David with us now. Hi, David. Oh, crikey, David's on Blighted Line 2 again. I'm sorry, David. Julian's with us. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. That's an interesting news cycle this morning.
Well, I didn't expect it when I went to bed last night, put it that way.
No. I think Howard is quite correct saying, you know, who is responsible for these decisions? Like purchasing 20-mile-an-hour signage well before there was any public consultation. I mean, I don't know, maybe we can sell them off and try and get some money back for them or something. I do think, though, now is not the time to be complacent about this, because there's still plenty of embedded, long-term, unelected civil servants who may still resist the change that looks like it's coming. So until we hear that there is a full reversal of this 20-mile-an-hour rollout, a full investigation and remedy for the management and safety issues at the airport that Sue so eloquently highlighted on Friday, and get that resolved, from what I said, lack of a de-icing plan at the airport if we get more than a night's worth of snow. I think we need to get rid of Michelle Hayward's safe access zone bill. That needs to be scrapped because, you know, unless you particularly want all your rights taken away. And, you know, net zero and climate change act needs to be scrapped before it breaks the island financially. I'd suggest heavy subsidisation of the steam packet. Let's alleviate the shipping costs on pretty much all the businesses on the island. Get the roads back in good condition. Let's have a look at that minimum wage policy thing and see, you know, what are we going to do about that? Because, you know, as much as it's laudable in theory, let's take the pressure off everything with all this regulation going on with agriculture and all kinds of other businesses that really I don't think fits the island. And then you've got the gas at Mackled. You know, some of the naysayers say, oh, you know, it's not even feasible. I just noticed last week, the Norwegians have got a new extraction technology known as subsea compression technology, which has been deployed at the Ormen Lange gas field. And they're getting a lot more gas out than they thought they might do. And they're also getting gas out of places that previously they didn't think they'd be able to extract. So there's all kinds of things going on in terms of money that can be brought to the island, and also to alleviate all the pressure on businesses.
I'll ask you the same question that I asked Howard, Julian. Obviously, Mr. Cannon has made a move today. Do you approve of what he's done?
Absolutely. I do agree with Howard that it should have gone earlier. But somehow I think I sympathise with the Chief Minister in terms of the pressure that he's under. There's an awful lot of MLCs, for example, who seem to be... they're unelected, but they seem to have a certain arrogance, especially some of the things that were said in the Timwald not so long ago. So, you know, I think we can't, as good as this news is, it's a great first step, but we can't be complacent. I don't want to hear pause for too long on the 20 mile an hour. I want to see written on the front page of every newspaper, reversed, gone, scrapped for the 20 mile an hour rollout. We don't want to see this resurrecting its head. It doesn't fit the island. We're the road racing capital of the world. The accidents that have happened don't support any kind of 20-mile-an-hour rollout over many, many decades. The Chief Constable said it. He can't police it anyway. It would be impossible. So that needs to go, and we need to see that done and gone. And like I said, safe access zone bill doesn't fit the island. You know, we're an island that, you know, we have the freedom to have the man in line. You know, the hate speech laws and all the rest of it, if they were to come in, how long will the man in line last? There's all kinds of things that need to be pushed back on right now, I think. We need to have some positive messaging from politicians saying, yep, we're going to push back on these things because it doesn't fit the island.
OK. All right, Julian, thanks for calling today.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
29 minutes past 12, and we found David. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. You've got me?
Loud and clear. I don't know. Sometimes, line two, people just disappear like the Bermuda Triangle.
You know what it is? It's a short line between Onken and Douglas Head.
That's what it is, yeah.
Maybe I should ask Elon Musk. Must to get us a satellite going. Anyway, I wanted to thank, really, the Chief Minister for doing it. Like others have said, it's probably a bit late in actually doing it towards the budget. My issue is, the jury's out with me, with Dr. Allison on there, and the new Treasury, Thomas, coming in there, may be in a bit too quick on that. But the bonus I've got is I've got my life back now, going to listen to Timbald or going to the Keys and not getting anywhere. And I don't know why. And there'll be two people listening today, two extra listeners, isn't there? There'll be Dr. Allison and Michelle Haywood. I'll be listening to what the public said about it. But can I also mention too, Andy, if you will, is that can Tim? It's great to see Tim coming back into the frame. He's been there, okay. He's been there. He's had the T-shirt. He's going to get another T-shirt. But what he's doing there is consulting, and he's decided to consult or get back in bed with the local authorities, because at the end of the day, the local authorities are a big part of the community of the Isle of Man. And I'm sorry, but the previous minister wasn't listening to us at all. She had her head down and just doing it. And listen, if anybody wants to buy one of the signs, I believe you can get them for £25 at the sea terminal next week.
Okay.
I'm going to put my name down for one. But I was going to mention too, the quarry. We are a sporting nation, including racing and trials bike riding. Used to be a trials bike rider donkeys years ago myself. And the Doon Quarry, I don't know if it's the minister or somebody in the department, say maybe it was Hooper. I think if Tim's listening, he needs to get rid of Hooper. Hooper's carrying baggage all the time, and he's causing issues, which he's got something behind to do with. I don't know what his issues are. I think maybe he just doesn't like local authorities. But we'll leave it at that.
Okay. And how good a trials biker were you, by the way?
Middle of the road. But we don't have anywhere now where the kids can learn. Waste ground, some of the quarries, Doon Quarry itself, there's supposed to be, what I'm led to believe anyway, a health and safety issue on it is. It's a data subject access request has gone in and asked for the details, and it's not coming out. And what I want to hope that Tim will look at it and say, look, I've looked at this, or I'll get one of my oppos, new members of the team, to look at it and give something back to the island.
Right.
It's not what you can't do, Andy. It's my saying for the next year is what you can do for the island. Okay?
Right. Good to hear from you. Thanks, David.
Bye.
Cheers. Now, 27 minutes before one. If you're a trials biker, then, if you can't use the Doon Quarry, where are you biking? Glad to see Tim back at the helm. At least he knows how to run the department, and hopefully he'll put an end to this 20-mile-per-hour madness that can't be policed. That's Dodgy's words, by the way, 20-mile-per-hour madness. And a note in just says that the Chief Minister... Mr. Cannon, from the beginning of his tenure, he should have been steering and guiding the ship, i.e. government. Shifting the deck chairs at this stage isn't going to make a lot of difference. Says that perhaps we need a new captain and crew this September. Well, it is a fact that this coming September, the political DNA of the Isle of Man will be refreshed. You may be part of it. You may be standing as a candidate. Who knows how many people, how many of the existing members will retain their seats? Who knows how many will stand down? Who knows who's going to come in? And then, after the 24 members have been elected, who knows who'll be the Chief Minister? Of course, you'll hear everything about it here. Oh, crikey, you will. You'll hear all the candidates. You'll hear all the interviews. You'll see the videos. You'll hear them. You'll hear what they have to say. And come the day, it's down to you. Everybody above the age of 16 gets a vote. General election is Thursday, 24th of September. From 8 a.m. till 8 p.m, you will have the chance to have your say. On the 13th of August, the House of Keys will be dissolved. On the 26th of August, the nomination period for candidates closes, and the election is on Thursday, the 24th of September. It's a heck of a responsibility, but it's yours.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells with no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
Big bigger jackpots, more prizes, more chances to win. There's never been a better time to play the Hospice Lottery. We've now doubled the number of guaranteed monthly cash prizes to over 100, which means you now have the best ever odds for winning prizes. Plus, our monthly rollover jackpots build up to an incredible £10,000. Tickets are just £5, so don't miss out and help a great local cause too. Visit hospice.org.in now.
Players must be over 16. Terms and conditions apply.
For a wide range of wood-burning stoves and a complete installation service, visit The Snug in Ramsey. And we don't stop there. Kiln-dried firewood and full aftercare service, including chimney sweeps and maintenance. Call The Snug in Ramsey.
I love to drive.
Drive smarter. Drive more reliable. Drive a great deal at Mannin Motors. With a superb range of cars for every budget, always available. And if we don't have it, we'll source it. Plus, servicing, valeting and prestige detailing too. Mannin Motors, Richmond Hill, Douglas. Find us on Facebook or call 420-420. That's 420-420. Drive a better bargain at Mannin Motors.
This Thursday on Meg's Radio, we explore the work of Craig's Heartstrong Foundation.
I was 18 years old. Finding that out, you just freeze.
Annette Baller tells us how the charity's heart screening events led to a life-changing discovery, and the family of Craig Lunt pays tribute to those keeping his legacy going.
To know that other families can be prevented from going through that is priceless.
That's Island Life with me, Lewis Foster, this Thursday at 5:30, available as a podcast afterwards at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy White.
Well, there's lots happening on the political front, but just a couple of other things I'd like to bring to your attention. And one's regarding Vinted. Vinted is the app that's become popular in recent years, which allows people to buy and sell items here and across the UK. But in recent week, people using an Isle of Man postcode haven't been able to sell anything on the site. So I just wonder, Vinted said the issues lies with their shipping providers, but Evri, DPD and InPost, which operates Yodel, told Max Radio they're still operating to and from the Isle of Man with no problems. A spokesperson for the buy and sell site said the Isle of Man isn't blacklisted, as have been claimed elsewhere, and we have had a raft of statements from a myriad of shipping providers, as well as Vinted itself and the Department for Enterprise. You can find them all at maxradio.com, but the underlying message seems to be that they can't pin down what has led to the issue. It is being looked into. Do you buy or sell on Vinted, and are you having problems? And also, there's a payment system called Stripe, which apparently you can't use on the... It's a big base in San Francisco. Does payments and billing and all sorts of things. But we can't use it on the Isle of Man. So if you've been trying to get anywhere with Stripe, then it will be interesting to know, because obviously, as an international finance centre, these really shouldn't be the problems that we're having. What do you think? A cynic, says Gary, might think ministers will be happy to stand down or move jobs so they can excuse themselves at the election from any problems and basically say, wasn't me, it was my predecessor. Or, I don't know anything about that, I've only been here for 2 months. For example, now the DOI minister's gone, it will save her having to report back as she promised about the issues with a former ATC on Friday. Also, it avoids having a photo taken with Eric in his mobility scooter on the bus. A bit of good news, says this anonymous texter for the Isle of Man. The DOI minister from the south has been removed from the role. The amount of money wasted in the last 15 months is disgraceful. Everything she's had an involvement in has gone wrong. Well, I'm sure not everything. It's the best decision Mr. Cannon has made in his time as chief minister. And texter 363 says, does this reshuffle mean that maybe Mr. Thomas will help the OAPs? We can no longer contribute to anything now, but please remember we once did. We need help. Old, widowed and infirm, we need to live with a lot of help, says 363. Obviously, we'll be aiming to speak to Mr. Thomas as soon as possible, and Mr. Crookall as well. I feel sorry for Dr. Haywood. It feels like malice aimed towards her has evolved into a witch hunt. Not everything will have been her fault, but as the face of the DOI, all of the anger was directed at her. The public needs to calm down a little. 20 miles per hour now in town isn't that bad. It's no different than on the UK. Also helps to make roads safer, especially when most Manx drivers go at 40 to 50 through 30 mile per hour zones. And certainly we didn't get to it on Friday, but I was hoping to talk to Michelle Haywood next time she was in about the personal attacks that she's received and the fact that she turned off comments on her personal Facebook page. And certainly, but you have to say, I mean, you will know by listening to Man in Line, Michelle Haywood never, ever turned down the opportunity to come on Man in Line and to talk about her role within DOI. So, you know, agree or disagree with her, she was never, ever anonymous. Will Tim Crookall address the ongoing concerns about the broken airport? He's been very quick to pause the 20-mile-per-hour speed limit, but Friday's bombshell comments about the airport are a real concern. He hasn't mentioned that at all. Should have been top priority instead of making a statement about speed limits, says Paul. And Dick says Michelle's gone, but the 20-mile-per-hour limit is still in law. So good luck changing that. Does it mean we'll see more daffodils in the middle of the road at Port St Mary as Michelle's got more time on her hand? Well, I'm sure it's not the last we've heard of Michelle Haywood. So we've heard what the public's had to say about that, about the change today. But Laurie Hooper, one backbench MHK, says the reshuffle feels like the Chief Minister is acting in mad panic. The leader of Liberal Vanin has been talking after the changes to the Council of Ministers.
I don't think Chris would have been necessarily my first choice for the Treasury Minister portfolio. I've got a lot of time for Mr. Thomas, but he tends to spend a lot of time worrying about definitions and technicalities rather than trying to see the big picture or actually getting things done. And in some ways, I think what's needed in the last 6 months of administration is ministers who are just happy to crack on and get things done. There's not a lot of time to go back to square one and revisit every single policy decision that we've ever made. But it's an interesting appointment. I wish Chris the best of luck. But we'll see how this all pans out, I suppose.
What's your reaction to all of this?
This doesn't feel like it was planned. It feels very much like the Chief Minister is acting in a mad panic over something. We had an email this morning that said he was reshuffling, and then very swiftly after that, the news obviously followed about the Treasury Minister. But to be honest, I can't imagine a good reason why you would replace your Treasury Minister weeks before the budget. I just cannot picture how this is a good idea.
Does this show, or would this kind of make people lose confidence in the leadership on the Isle of Man at the moment?
Well, you're making an assumption there that we have leadership on the Isle of Man at the moment, and I don't think we do. I don't think it is the mark of a stable leadership or a good leadership to be panicking like this, to be very clearly throwing all the cards up in the air just before the last budget of the administration, just 6 months before the end of the administration. I'm really feeling we have a leadership vacuum at the moment.
Have you been offered anything? Would you take it?
No, I definitely haven't been offered anything, and no, I can't see myself accepting another job under this Chief Minister. I think he and I are very different in terms of where we see our policy priorities, and I think we have very different views on so many things. I can't see that happening, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Laurie Hooper, leader of the Liberal Vanin Party, and member, he's a political member of the Department of Infrastructure under the new Minister Tim Crookall, MHK. The political members are Laurie Hooper, leader of Liberal Vanin, Joni Farragher, leader of the Labour, Manx Labour Party, and Dawn Kinnish, MLC. Shirley's with us now. Hello, Shirley.
Hiya. I'd just like to know if the 20-mile-an-hour speed limit is going to make any difference to our little avenue.
Where's that?
Well, I live in Douglas Avenue, which is just down from Portishead. And it's quite amazing, actually. Every day, our avenue has no pavements in it, and it has 8 houses. And the cars come down through Portishead in the morning. They bomb down like lunatics. Then they cut straight down through our avenue. And at the moment, we've got 5 little children that all live in houses in our avenue, and it is not safe at all. They take no notice. It's mainly these ones in the vans. They're coming down. Obviously, they're always late for work. If they got up a little bit earlier, maybe they'd get there on time. But seemingly, at the top of Portachie, there is a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. But of course, then, my husband says they're doing it because they don't see that you go down through our avenue and through to the other end. Now, when you get to the other end of our avenue, there is a speed limit, which no one takes any notice of, and you're coming around that corner, but it's coming down through the avenue. I tell you it, how an accident hasn't happened. In fact, about 3 weeks ago, I was walking up there quite late at night, because as well as that, as well as having no pavements, we don't have a light at the end which goes up the road which takes us to Portachie. There is no lighting there at all. You have to feel your way up on the bush going. And a lady actually came past me and her car touched me. I mean, it is absolutely ludicrous. And they talk about this 20-mile-an-hour. I'd love to stand out there and stop some of these cars and say to them, what on earth are you thinking of? Because, of course, we never, because it's such a quiet area, we never get traffic control. We never get the police going around here.
Well, the thing is, Shirley, the technology is there. They could put speed cameras there and they could nick people. The technology exists to put speed cameras there. Would you object to speed cameras?
Do you know, I wouldn't. I actually left a message on my MHK's phone about 6 or 7 weeks ago, and I never heard anything back from anyone, which I'm horrified at. But you know, I just get tired of it. I've lived here a long time now, and it used to be when I first moved in, there was quite a few elderly people, but now the grandparents that live in this avenue are now looking after the children, and they've all got little ones to look after. And as I say, we've got no pavements. You're trying to get into the side of the road so they can go faster. I don't think so.
Well, the thing is, Shirley, I mean, if this goes wrong, it doesn't bear thinking about, and that's what everybody is trying to, you know, kind of mitigate, is put this. So you think a 20-mile-per-hour limit and some speed cameras would be okay there?
Well, my husband actually says it shouldn't. It's such a little avenue with no pavements in it. He says it should be less than 20 miles an hour in our avenue. Because you go to some of these other places, I'm sure I've seen 10 mile an hour where they're in these little confined spaces. They don't seem to care about us here. I've just been, as I've been standing here now, I'm out in the hall and I've just watched a car bomb through like a lunatic. Because they've come down through Portachie where there are two speed bumps. My daughter lives in Portachie. There's two speed bumps, that one at the bottom. No one even slows down for it. It's a wonder it doesn't take all their exhaust pipes or half the bottom of their car off, because the vans in the morning, I've never known anything like it. And then they bomb down through here and they just think it's their right to do it, and it's not their right to do it. This is our avenue and they shouldn't be going at that speed.
OK, Shirley, we appreciate it. Thanks for telling us about that today.
That's lovely. Thank you.
Good to hear from you. It's 12 minutes now before one.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till one, Monday to Friday.
I think Eric's with us now. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Andy. I'd just like to put a different point over. Everybody's on there now saying Michelle Heywood should have been sacked and everything she's done wrong. Well, all I can say is I find she is the first out of seven ministers in 6 years that bothered to do anything about mobility scooters being allowed on buses.
Well, it's as you say, we need to put that down. I mean, with everybody saying everything she did was wrong. No, of course not. Everything she did wasn't wrong. And, you know, she was a very, very diligent worker.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it now, the two MHKs have just been promoted. They all had to go on DOI and totally ignored the mobility scooters on buses. You know, one of them had three goes at it. You know, and now he's back there again. I hope I'm not talking too soon. I hope he's not going to put a stop to these mobility scooters being on buses. You know, but I just think it's wrong. You can't blame Michelle Heywood for everything. You know, and certainly in my case, she did what she was asked to do, and like you say, it took 6 years. One minister does it. What about the other six? What did they do?
Well, it's indicative, Eric, the fact that some things aren't very simple in government. It may seem simple. I mean, getting mobility scooters on buses might sound simple, but she's obviously had a battle.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the first battle, anyway, was with Longworth when he was ruling it. You know, and I really do think that in some ways there should be an inquiry into this. You know, why it took, like you say, such simple things. She had a battle, you know, the others did nothing. Maybe you ought to look at this and see why MHKs weren't doing their jobs, you know, and let it all come out in the open. Because I can't talk about it in the open, you know, only up to a point. But it's just ridiculous that it took that length of time, and all it took was one minister to do some research, do the job, and get it done. And what you also have to remember is their excuses were always you couldn't have a mobility scooter on the bus. He didn't fit, he couldn't get on, they moved about, whatever excuse. 6 years ago they were saying that. They haven't altered the buses in 6 years. It's still the same bus that I couldn't get on 6 years ago. I know they've changed some of the pavements now, which is a good thing. But, you know, I'd love some of the ministers to come on and say why they rejected, why they did nothing.
OK. All right. Eric, thanks for calling today.
OK.
Cheers now. Let's hope today's reshuffle sends a clear message to ministers, says Alex. MHKs and civil servants, that they have their duty to listen to the electorate rather than to promote their own agenda. I don't know why any new talented professionals would want to take on a ministerial role in the government. The level of personal abuse on social media is ridiculous, and the appetite for progressive, forward-thinking policies seems to be non-existent. Instead, people want to hark back to when everything was supposedly wonderful in the past, says Steve. So we just end up shuffling the same people around who have failed before. Those were Steve's words. I mentioned that Michelle Haywood never turned down an invitation to come on Man in Line. And also, I have to say the same about Dr. Allinson. Alex Allinson was always extremely polite and extremely prompt, and always appeared on Man in Line whenever an invitation was issued. And I personally wish them well for the future. They're both talented politicians, and I don't think it's the last we've heard of Michelle Haywood and Alex Allinson.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank. Whether it be food or essential items or financial support, please call 646 999, brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
A big thank you to your workmen. They've done a very good job. My property looks like new again. Thank you, EPS.
We're delighted with the house. Your employees obviously take great pride in their work.
The work was done promptly, professionally and considerately.
EPS, transforming properties island-wide with the revolutionary Protex wall covering system. Guaranteed for 10 years. Call 627191 and book now for spring and get 10% off.
A good job. Well done.
Hello 2026. Hello £200. When you upgrade to Manx Telecom's Go Roam Ultra with a handset over 36 months, you'll get £200 to spend on anything in store. Because joy scrolling shouldn't be seasonal. Enjoy unlimited local data and 40 gigabytes of roaming data in 37 countries. Offer ends the 31st of January. See mt.im/terms for terms and conditions.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Such a shame Michelle Haywood's gone. She was knowledgeable and she got things done. I fully support 20-mile-per-hour zones. Stand outside the two schools at St Ninian's and see the speed that some people do around there. But remember, the only person that had that in their manifesto at the last election was Ann Corlett. the Douglas Central MHK, Anne Corlett's 20 is Plenty campaign was for built-up areas, particularly around schools. Now, many of the schools, as you know, have these radar control signs where you can only do 20 miles per hour past the school during, you know, school in and school out. So it's not beyond the wit of the department to have those, nor is it to have speed cameras. And that would initially, of course, raise plenty of money as well if people are whizzing through built-up areas. I agree with Shirley. Whose percentage of motorists blatantly ignore the 30-mile-per-hour limit? Is there a reason it's so dangerous to drive like this? Speed causes accidents. It's a fact, and I think it's time we had speed cameras on the Isle of Man. Eric's expressing thanks to the minister, but he hasn't been on the bus with his mobility scooter yet. Well, let's hope so. I think Michelle Haywood, I can't believe the comments that Laurie Hooper said that Chris Thomas spends too much time on definitions and technicalities. Thankfully, as he tried to make the assisted dying law safer, definitions are very important when forming laws. Thankfully, Mr. Hooper doesn't want to be a minister. That's Texter 562. Tomorrow, we're out and about. The Man in Line outside broadcast unit will be in Castletown at King William's College.
When the Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682-631.
We'll be talking to the students at King William's College about how they see the world, what they think of everything. So tomorrow, King William's College, and a week tomorrow, we'll be at Ballacameen High School. And as we're on the downhill to the election, it will be interesting to see what those first-time voters think of Manx politics. I'd want Mr. Thomas to sort out the benefit system, says Texter 180. What would happen if a mobility scooter burst into flames on the bus? Oh, crikey. I wouldn't like being on the bus when I was on it. I don't drive, says Jan. Well, it's another problem for the new DOI minister. Mr. Tim Crookle, that's it. So live from Castletown tomorrow. Thanks to Chris on the phones today.
WINT.